broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Well, after 20 years of serving as a pastor and leading community-wide ministries, this gentleman found himself without a church and also without a personal identity. An Irreligious Faith is a book, his story of reevaluating his faith, reexamining the church he loved for so long. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us all the way from, I actually don't even know where. Glenn, where the heck are you, man?
Winthrop Harbor, Illinois, a little bedroom town in the far reaches north of Chicagoland.
All right. I do remember that now because I remember the last time we talked, I asked you how Bill Hybels is. How's Bill doing?
As far as I know, Bill's doing okay. I haven't seen him for a while.
I remember going to Bill Hybels' church, and I spent the whole time looking for Mike Singletary. I didn't even listen to the message. Okay, so, you know, I got this book and a note from you, and I thought, okay, that's, you know, your cover got me, An Irreligious Faith, How to Starve Religion and Feed Life, you know, that's going to get me for sure. And, of course, thumbing through this book, dude, well done. How long has this been out there for people's consumption?
It's been out there since the spring, about late March, April, at least the paperback version.
Right. And you wrote this pretty much because, you know, your journey has been one that I think a lot of our listeners would resonate with, especially with the way I go on about things these days. Can you sort of concisely share a bit of your journey? Well, all of it in, you know, a concise way?
Oh, boy, that's a little bit of a challenge. I guess in a sentence, I've gone from being the ultimate church insider to definitely being an outsider. Some people would call me a troublemaker, actually. My son summed it up a little bit differently. A few years ago, we were sitting around the dinner table, his young adult in his 20s, and somebody was asking pastoral advice for me. I think it was my brother-in-law who was visiting. And he said, oh, Pops is pretty much the same, only he dips the suit, drinks beer, and listens to Metallica now.
Hold on, you didn't listen to Metallica before, or you did, but didn't let anybody know?
One of those two, I can't say for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, let's see, how to concisely, again, with the word concisely, what I'm getting from you is that you're no longer about religion, but you're trying to be authentically spiritual. Is there anything wrong with that sentence?
No, that's a good sentence, and authentic's a good word, though overused, and you know, it's been a struggle for me. I wrote this thing basically to redeem my experience because so much of my experience with the church was painful. And so I thought maybe, you know, somebody else can benefit what I went through here as I try to make sense of it. And so, you know, at times I wondered, like, you know, why me? What I've gone on this journey, you know, is all this searching for an identity, searching for a job, trying to figure out what to do after 20 years of doing the pastor thing. And I remember, you know, sometimes I would just, like, go outside at night and literally scream at God, you know, why? You know, I don't know who the heck I am. I don't know why I've gone through this stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do for a living, you know, just on and on. And so as I've thought about what's really driven me on this search, I think it's a search for something that's real, something of faith that's integrated into life rather than separated from it.
Okay, so maybe you're just a grumpy dude who, you know, got sick of church politics, got sick of being a target for people inside a dysfunctional organization. And yet you were stuck because, you know, you weren't really qualified to do something else. You know, a lot of people who can't do real life get into ministry, and then all of a sudden it's not working for you. So now you write a book about how sucky things were and how you don't think church is really what people should be doing. And but yet you still can't really let go of God or the Jesus thing. Wow. Maybe that's it.
Is that your summary of my book?
No.
Yeah, I probably am a grumpy old guy. you know, I know a lot of people think that, and I personally don't think it's true. I think I'm a guy that pretty much had to be pushed away from the church to look at it objectively, and then when I looked at it objectively, I saw things that didn't make sense to me. I asked questions. And I found other people that were asking those questions. I found places where those questions were not welcome. And so I was just forced to take this objective look. And when I did, there were just things that didn't make sense. and things I didn't like. I certainly don't belittle people that do the institutional church scene and go every Sunday, because most of my friends and loved ones do, or many of them. And it works for them, fine. It used to work for me. It doesn't anymore. I don't think that makes me a heathen. I don't think it makes me a heretic. It just makes me somebody that doesn't like the institution that calls itself the church or and Christianity, and somebody that's looking for a faith that's real and trying to forge a new path and help other people that are doing that.
So how do readers, if they're going to pick up your book, let's say they're a little frustrated with the church culture, and through whatever their experience is, you know, some people are frustrated with the church culture because the church culture has tried to come alongside of them and help them change bad patterns or habits, and they've bucked that. They've shied away from that. They're sick of that. They don't want people in their business. They want to do what they want to do, okay? And maybe the church people haven't done it in the best way possible. Maybe they have been too up in their grill. For whatever reason, they're like, you know what? I'm done with church. So they pick up this book, and their religious faith, How to Starve Religion and Feed Life. How do we know that what you're going to take them through in this book is not simply a precursor to eventually walking away from the whole thing?
Because I didn't. And because I have it, though I know people have. I sort of summed it up, and it kind of came to me, and I thought, man, this is so good, I've got to tweet it. So I did. I mean, that's what you do today, right? And this is the way I summed it up. I said, Jesus is compelling, the church is controlling. And it seems like the church wants to, you know, kind of run you through this grid or cattle chute of classes and conform your behavior. And I don't see that in Jesus at all. He was so radical. He was so not appreciated in so many circles. And I think Jesus is about helping us to fulfill our God-given potential rather than, you know, create little church clones or drones. So that's just my take on it.
Do you see yourself? I mean, can you even imagine you just leaving, you know, becoming an agnostic, become an atheist or whatever?
Oh, I can imagine it. But, and I've thought about it. I mean, can you find an honest person that hasn't wondered if God is there? I don't think so. I like question everything there is in the faith. I mean, I thought it was, you know, it took me forever. This book is about a process that took place over 10 or 15 years. I mean, it took me forever to kind of turn away from the church. And then I started questioning my faith, especially after I started reading Brian McLaren's books. It was like so that caused me to question everything. I go, oh, man, that's just what I needed. It's like, now I don't have any anger. Now I'm not homeless, or I'm kind of spiritually homeless. I don't know what the heck to believe. You know, God, I think you're there kind of thing, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so I've kind of, like, processed that. I've been through that. And yes, I believe Jesus. I believe he is who he said he was. I don't think he came to start a religion, however. I think he came to redeem us and revolutionize the way that we live now.
Glenn Hager is on the phone with us. He has written this book. It's called An Irreligious Faith, How to Starve Religion and Feed Life. And if you want to go to his website, you can find out all about it. It's got two N's in Glenn and an H-A-G-E-R. Two N's in Glenn and then H-A-G-E-R.com. An Irreligious Faith, How to Starve Religion and Feed Life. See, here's the disconnect for me, man. How do you say what you say, write what you write, and then make yourself available to speak at churches?
My editor asked me that, too. She said, why, you know, this section about the church, you know, an irreligious church being in my book. So I'm not sure that belongs. And I go, yeah, I think it does, because there's some people in the institution that will be open to what I have to say. And I made some really specific suggestions, especially a little bit more like Jesus in that. So I'm just kind of open to whoever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this book for people who are just in the church and questioning? Is this book for people who have already left the church? I mean, is this book for leaders of the church? Is this book for I don't know, who's it for? Like, is it for the the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, you know, who are just wanting to live in a reverent life and not be confined by the by the tribal conditioning of a particular church group?
Well, I think I can answer that question with one word, and
yes.
It's really for everybody that falls in those categories. I think it's for questioners, people that are going to church and have a lot of questions. Maybe aren't finding good answers, maybe aren't finding their questions welcome. You know, there's kind of been a wondering stage, and I would encourage those people to keep asking honest questions until they get good answers. It's for people who have left the church. That's probably the primary group I had in mind because I've worked with a lot of those people in recent years. Because people who have been in the church and left the church find themselves in a kind of difficult transition. A lot of times friends turn their backs on them and, you know, they're wondering what they believe, wondering if they're a heretic and all that stuff. It's for pastors that are disillusioned or former pastors, because I am one of those. I identify, and a lot of former disillusioned pastors that seem to identify with what I've written. And it is for those nuns. It's for people that have never opened the doors of the church and wondering if it's relevant. I want them to see that there's a big difference between Jesus and the church.
Let me, I just want to ask, you know, a few weeks ago we actually asked the question on our show, you know, why go to church? What is the point? Is church really necessary these days? And, you know, I imagine people's pushback, and so I would push back with what I thought people would push back with, which is this, or these comments. Well, you go to church to be taught the Word of God. Really? In today's day and age, when we can get probably better teachers And a better smattering of non-biased or non, you know, typically if you go to one church, you're going to get one person's filtered interpretation of Scripture based on denominational baggage, especially. But if you can get online at all today, and if you can't, fine, I maybe go to a church, obviously, but there's an awful lot of, I mean, we're in the age of information. So really, that's the reason that we're supposed to go to church, to be taught? Okay, well, what about, well, no, I go to church to worship. Now, if you mean, you know, singing in a large group together, first of all, that makes me vomit. And second of all, I can never get into an authentic, reverent state when I'm singing erotic love songs to Jesus with a group of other people. So I'd rather do that by myself with some kind of my own musical choice, and maybe, you know, with some, you know, my iPhone plugged into my head and I'm walking in the bush, or, you know, by myself kind of thing. Okay, well, you're going to serve. That's why you go to church, to serve. Well, hold on. Are you saying that it's better for Jesus people to serve with other Jesus people in order to make a bigger statement because we're Jesus people and we're actually replicating the same stuff other people are already doing, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus? Why don't the Jesus people partner up with the organizations that are already out there and serve alongside of others who aren't already part of the choir? So why go to church?
Well, you ask really good questions, and I guess I would try to answer those questions with another question. That is, why would we outsource our spiritual expression? I think we're personally responsible for that rather than to try to outsource it to somebody else. I think we're responsible for you know, our relationship with God through, you know, whether it's worship or whether it's in, you know, spiritual growth or whatever it is, we're responsible for service and all those things. And I think when we go to church, it's just a convenient way to outsource all that. So like going to Walmart, you know, something for everybody and get your, all of your stuff here because we are like the best or have the lowest price, whatever. But, I just don't believe in outsourcing anymore. I think that's up to me and how I do it and how I want to do it, what works for me.
Now, but you're just a North American consumerist, you know. Hold on. Let me finish this interview with this. Is there any hope for the church, or should all churches close down tomorrow?
Well, I've asked that one of myself a lot. And, I think, there's the church and there's the church. There's the institution and there's the real deal. And, of course, the real deal, there's hope for the institution. It's going to have to change big time. I mean, big time. And some are here and there. It's spotty. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's going to be slow. I don't think there's a model for it. At least I hope there's never a model for it so we don't have a bunch of clone churches.
Yeah.
So some will, some won't. Some will stay into reactionary mode, and there'll be a market for that. I don't know how this thing got mixed up and became an institution, or why we accept that. why we think that's the right way to do it. I think it's just because it's so darn convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It is because it's convenient. I remember someone saying to me one time, a friend of mine, I can't say her name. Anyway, she's a celeb person, and she said on the show one time, you know, I don't have time to read through stuff and to think things through. I just want to go to a church I can trust where they tell me what I need to know and tell me what I should think. And I was that encapsulated the whole thing. Well, that's why there's institutionalized, you know, religion. That's why they took, you know, Jesus came and the reason he was killed was because he said to hell with religion. And then his disciples started a religion, and we've been keeping the religion going ever since.
Yeah, that's really a scary thing when you analyze the statements that your friend made, and she totally put her faith in somebody else, another organization, and I think that's been the wise thing to do. I think that God intended for us to do that as individuals.
Yeah. Listen, I'm glad we've sort of met Glenn. Glenn Hager is the author of The New Religious Faith, How to Starve Religion and Feed Life. I would suggest this as a read, folks. You can go to his website, find out more about him, and, of course, that's how you'll find out how to get his book as well. Glenn with two N's, H-A-G-E-R. Glenn with two N's, H-A-G-E-R.com. Glenn, listen, I really appreciate you joining us, and I appreciate you reaching out and sending me this book.
Well, thanks for reading it, and thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for doing what you're doing and being honest.
I appreciate it. Take care, Glenn. Have a great summer, dude. There you go, folks. Glenn Hager on the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you, baby. I wanna stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.